Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It is Friday and you need to stock up at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Corey and the gang, they're stocked up and they're ready for you. They have the best selection when it comes to domestics, imports, microbrews, soft drinks, snacks, fresh hot roasted peanuts. And, of course, when the weather's just right, the pickle bar. Love the barrel pickles. I am a huge barrel pickle guy. That is all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Kevin is on hand today. He goes on vacation next week.
And?
So we only have a few more hours. We only have an hour and a half, hour 45 of pure rant.
There's no IndyCar this weekend, so you're good to go there.
Oh, good. Good.
I have a couple of ideas, though, for soccer, though, Steve.
For what?
I have a few ideas for soccer to make soccer. Yes, and make the World Cup more interesting. I watched a little bit of it this afternoon and talked to some friends.
What do you want to do, arm everybody?
Well, I thought that might be a little bit violent. Well, all right, here's my ideas. And I've thought about this. I think they should have two players that are defenders that can only go down a quarter of the field. They cannot go the rest of the way. Now, to open up the scoring a little bit, I think the goalie area needs to be shrunk. The goal itself needs to stay the same, but the goalie area needs to be shrunk, and nobody can get in the goalie area. Consider it the crease. I think then you have an opportunity to get more scoring. You don't really change the game that much, and then I think American fans will be much more into it because you won't have these nil-nil games.
Look, the game only goes 90 minutes.
I understand that.
And young people love that.
Yeah, but young people also like scoring, and 1-0 is not exciting.
Well, when it's Philadelphia Union playing the Seattle Sounders, I agree with you. When it's the World Cup and it's championship level, it brings with it a different intensity and tenseness to it.
Well, I'm okay with different rules for the different levels. I mean, they do that with Olympic hockey. The Olympic hockey rink is different than an NHL rink.
Mm-hmm.
And the same with basketball. The Olympic basketball court is different than an NHL or than an NBA court.
Okay.
My point is I don't mind different rules for the World Cup making it different than MLS. If you want to make these rule changes with MLS, at least it becomes more interesting to the casual fan who likes to see scoring.
Okay. Bob Warming, the men's soccer coach at Penn State, is going to join us in the next half hour. We will discuss the World Cup.
You're not going to ask him about my ideas, though, are you? Yeah, I didn't think so.
I don't ask anybody about your ideas, usually.
I'm just trying to think out of the goalie box. See how I tied the phrase into soccer a little bit?
Now, I have talked repeatedly that more offense brings more fans. I have talked about that a lot, that the NFL changed its rules on pass defense in such a way where they're trying to open the game up and get people excited about scoring, that hockey took away the two-line pass, and that opened up everything, and there's more scoring. NBA took out the hand-checking and all the ticky-tack stuff, and that brought about more scoring, and that baseball needs to figure out a way to get more scoring. I mean, look, the College World Series. You know what the cumulative average of the College World Series is right now?
I don't even. It's got to be in. It's well into double figures.
205.
Wow. That's more than I thought.
That's the batting average.
Oh, that's the batting. I thought you were talking about scoring in there. Oh, okay.
No, they're not scoring. Batting average in the College World Series is 205.
I thought it would be much more than that.
And they've had, it for the first time ever, a drop in attendance at the College World Series. First time ever.
What do you attribute the low scoring to be?
Bat.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I'm sorry. Stop messing around. Let them use wooden bats. Get used to it. Play ball. No aluminum bats at Little League. None of that stuff. None of it. No ping. Everybody should be using wood all the way through. It's absurd what they're doing. It's absurd.
They were also, I do give them credit, though, for trying to get rid of the 13-12 games they had. Remember, what was that, about 4 or 5 years ago that the scores were ridiculous?
Yeah, but that was using aluminum bats.
I understand that.
Use wooden bats. Hey, use wooden bats. No ping. I want to hear wood. They're using wood in the major leagues. Use wood all the way through. No BB cores and all this other stuff they're using in college and high school. That junk's got to go.
What about composite wood? Are you okay with that, or does it just have to be?
I don't care. If it's allowed in the major leagues, okay, then allow it all the way through.
I don't know if they do in the majors. I don't think they're
composite. Well, if it's not, then it can't do it. Okay, I mean, I don't want you messing around with it. Okay, bat's a bat. If you got to take, I don't know what the fence situation. I think there's only, one home run? Two home runs?
Really?
Total? In the College World Series, there haven't been many home runs.
Wow.
Well, the ball doesn't travel anymore. Wooden bats, wind the baseballs tighter, and let's go.
By the way, we just got a message that said there is some scoring today in the World Cup. France scored twice in the last minute and 7 seconds.
Well,
Actually, in the first minute and seven seconds.
Costa Rica beat Italy today.
And they are
huge.
Italy gone.
I mean, huge.
Italy's gone. England's gone.
Spain.
Spain's gone.
U.S. live.
But they can't win.
They win this. Hey, look, to me, success for the United States is to get to the knockout round.
I agree.
Now, once you get to the knockout round, now it's catch as catch can. Now you can roll the dice and see how far you go.
And I still say that, I am not a soccer genius, but I know enough to get myself in trouble. And I can tell you one thing. This U.S. team has a very good chance on Sunday with so many key players appear to be out for Portugal.
But Jozy Altidore is out for the U.S.
Ah, now that I hadn't heard yet.
No, he pulled a hamstring. It was a hamstring strain. He either had to leave. He had to leave the opener against Ghana. I think in the first half he left. That was a big blow. And, of course, Dempsey's playing with a broken nose. And oh, well.
Yeah, but then you can put one of those guards on it. He'll be fine.
Yeah, they're going to borrow one from California Chrome Zones. They don't need that anymore.
That wasn't a guard. That was a breathe right strip for horses.
Well, that's what he needs. He needs a breathe right strip and a guard. He needs to open it up so he can breathe. Now, Mark Emmert, the president of the NCAA, got on the witness stand yesterday. As far as I'm concerned, and partially blew it. And being a university president and not being an athletic director in his career, I think hurt him this time. And the reason I say that is that it's when they were at You know, you have a deposition. So there's no surprise, really, for the attorneys asking questions unless you change your testimony. And then, of course, they'll pounce and seize, which is proper to do because you've changed your testimony. That's proper. Nothing wrong with that. But yesterday, it went to a little bit different realm. Yes, he's being pounded and hounded by the attorney for the O'Bannon side, which was expected, and he expected, and he was prepared for that. But then the judge asked questions, and she started asking about sponsorships and so forth, and the comfort of sponsorships, and the fact that the student-athletes, quote, get nothing. And he answered it all wrong. Dave, the reason you have the Rose Bowl presented by Vizio, that you have the Discover Orange Bowl, or, you know, whatever, All-State Sugar Bowl, whatever it happens to be, is that the money then goes to the respective universities and athletic departments. But you have to explain that, look, the money doesn't go to a Grand Cayman's account, and we're all getting fat off of the sweat and energy of young people. They're getting something called an education out of it. Some may get a pro sports career out of it because they're getting essentially free training, free weight training, free nutrition training, coaching training, over and over. I mean, they're getting all of that. And if it doesn't work for them, if they've done what they're supposed to do by going to class and being responsible, they can get a degree out of it and be a pro in something else. But the model also makes sure that those who are participating in, let's take, for example, men's and women's soccer, since we're going to have Bob Warming on today. Okay, men's and women's soccer lose money. All right, that's just a statement of fact. I don't care that they lose money because you're making enough in two other sports to do it. That's the model that allows young women and men soccer players, or you mentioned the hot sport right now is lacrosse. Well, men's and women's lacrosse, okay, to participate, get scholarships, some full, some partial. You have to recognize that. But they're getting the same advantages and have a good chance, if they do it right, of walking out debt-free with a degree from the university. And that's how the business model works. Later in the show, I will go through the numbers one more time for everybody just in the Big Ten. I can tell you right now that non-revenue sports in the Big Ten in fiscal year 2012 lost $202 million. Now, to me, that was $202 million invested by athletic departments in student athletes. Penn State has 800 scholarship student athletes. Okay. Well, it turns out that 705 of them are in sports where they're not self-sustaining. But that's okay, because what's happened in football and men's basketball sustains it for everybody and has opened the window of opportunity in college to 705 additional student athletes that don't play football or men's basketball. But it opens the window of opportunity to excel in a sport that they love while getting an education at the same time. That's where the money goes to. Okay? That's where it goes. And it's not just a question of paying salaries to football and men's basketball players. Because the bottom line is, and the point has to be made to the judge, all right, if you want to do this, Okay, but here's a list. You tell me when it comes budget time which sports I have to drop, and you can sit there and you can tell the student athletes that, you know what, we had to drop your sport because I said it was okay to pay men's basketball players and football players. Because that's what, quote, the market demands. I'm going to outline some numbers in the final half hour of the show to illustrate this, because again, you cannot sit here and do a show like this. I listened this morning to Mike Greenberg, Michael Smith, and Jamel Hill do a segment on this morning, where I put my head down and was embarrassed it was on national radio. You can't play to the mob. You have to sit there and outline facts so people can then make a decision.
If you can hear my voice, you need to stop what you're doing and get to Sunbury Motors Hyundai at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, where the deals are sizzling. All new Hyundais are priced to move with the biggest discounts of the year. No gimmicks here. All you need to do to qualify is show up. Check out a 2014 Sonata for only $19,716. And we're not talking about a stripped-down stick shift with crank windows and no AC. This car has a backup camera, power seat, heated seats, Bluetooth, and more. Looking for a leftover? We have a few 2013s left with discounts up to 10 grand and still with a 10-year 100,000 mile warranty. All with rates as low as 0% and great gas mileage, you can't lose. We're available 24/7 at sunburymotors.com or get to the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, where Sunbury Motors Hyundai is selling more cars and satisfying more customers. And it has been that way since 1915.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show being brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Oh, the best in microbrews, domestics, imports, soft drinks, snacks, fresh hot roasted peanuts, pickle bar. There's a reason why we love having Brewers Outlet on. I love going there. I mean, I stock up when I'm in. Steve Jones, Kevin Herr, my partner in crime, together again. Now, we're talking about the World Cup. We're going to get to Mark Emmert in a few minutes here. But let's bring in Bob Worming. He's the men's soccer coach at Penn State, who, of course, he's out on recruiting right now. He's actually in Indianapolis right now as we bring him in to talk about the World Cup. Bob, welcome. It is great to have you on board with us.
How we doing, fellas?
Okay, it's great to hear you.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Okay.
I hope you're enjoying the World Cup.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? I go into work at Channel 3 after the Ghana match, and every person was talking about the Ghana match, how exciting it was, how they were into it. And I thought to myself, now this is great. This is exactly what the sport needed.
Well, it's really remarkable. There's on Twitter, there's a heat map that basically shows the Twitter volume that's going on in the United States by city. It's a map of the whole country. And it's highlighted on it the number of people that were tweeting when the U.S. scored the first goal against Ghana, and then the second goal against Ghana, and against the second goal, basically the entire country, except for Montana, Wyoming, and North Dakota, where they got no people, the whole country lit up. It was one of the highest Twitter volumes ever. So it shows really not only how many people are into our sport, but what the demographic is. It's basically primarily people between the ages of 16 and 35 that are all over the sport right now, and in the viewership right now and in the interest is number two, only behind NFL football in America in that age group.
Remarkable. And then on top of that, they have Portugal coming up. Hypothetical, if the U.S. were to get to the knockout round, just to get to the knockout round, what does that then do for the sport?
Well, we need to get to the knockout round. We need to get there. We need to continue to show progress. Certainly, we did not get the easiest draw in the World Cup. But the expectation of America is, in every sport, that we're gonna do our best. country or as a group of soccer people to settle for anything less than qualified for the next round.
MLS is number four in North America in average attendance behind the NFL, the Canadian Football League, believe it or not, Major League Baseball, and then it's the MLS, which is about a little more than 18,000 a match right now. And by my research, seven of the franchises are playing to 95% of capacity or better, and especially when you get to the Vancouver, Portland, Seattle corridor, it's unbelievable. Has the MLS helped the profile of soccer in this country?
Well, I'll give you an example, particularly in MLS. If you look 4 years ago, the Kansas City franchise was playing in the outfield of a single-A baseball stadium.
Right.
With 3,000 or 4,000 people coming to the game. Now they're selling out every game, 20,000 at a pop, in their own new soccer-specific stadium. Really what the sport needed in part was to create venues that that were soccer-specific, that people could go and they could really enjoy the game. And the passion of the fans, if you Google search or look at on the YouTube videos of what the fans are doing in Portland and Seattle, as you mentioned, and in Kansas City, Stern said with the NBA, he says, we've never seen anything like this. And the NFL folks are saying there's no passion like this in their sport right now, and they're envious of it. And that's a remarkable thing to say, because there was this point in our country's history when, and not too long ago, when people said, look, a lot of people are going to play soccer. No one's ever going to watch it. It's not going to happen. Well, they were wrong. And people are watching it in record numbers, and the demographic shows that it's going to continue to explode. The wave's coming, and it's going to be a big one, buddy.
If I recall correctly, I think Columbus with the Crew was the first one to really build a soccer-specific stadium. And
you're absolutely right.
Yeah, and then after that, it exploded beyond that. Because I know I've been to the Home Depot Center where the Galaxy play.
That, oh, you have?
Yes, I have, as a matter of fact. And it's a fabulous place. I think it's only 27,000-28,000, but just by having something specific that's the quote the right size.
That's right.
How important is that it's the right size, the sight lines are the right sight lines, and so forth.
Well, I'll give you an example. I used to work at a place called Furman University down in Greenville, South Carolina. Yeah. We had a football team and a basketball team, and we had this little Midnight Madness thing the night before a home football game to start the year off. And we had a little small practice gym, and there were about 350 people in there watching Midnight Madness practice, but it gym held about 200 in this little practice gym. The next day, there were 17,000 people in a 20,000-seat stadium, and the comment from everybody is, gosh, nobody's here.
Right.
You know, so you always say you can't build a church for Easter Sunday, and you can't build a venue for the maximum crowd you'll ever have. It has to be something where there's a real demand for tickets.
In your opinion, where is the level of the collegiate game now compared to the level of the collegiate game 15 years ago?
Unrecognizable, really. It's so much better. The development in the country is so much better. Every MLS team now has its own youth academy where they're developing players with the idea of hopefully selling some of those players or having them join their own MLS club. It's really remarkable what's going on. And the global travel that the kids are doing is tremendous, so that they're getting exposed to the world game for the best players. And then everybody in the country who's playing in these high-level things are playing against each other. So I'm headed to an event over in around Indianapolis here in a couple of days. And at that event, every top club in the country will be at this event. So the kids all know who the best players are. The kid from here in Pennsylvania knows about the kid in Seattle and the kid in San Diego and the kid in Dallas. And if the kids know about him, then the coaches know about him. So the level of recruiting is very, very high right now.
Obviously the World Cup continues with Portugal coming up on Sunday. people will be glued to that. Just give me just a quick preview of what you think about the matchup between the two.
Well, I think first of all, the thing with Portugal is they've got Cristiano Ronaldo. He is the X factor, Y factor, and Z factor all put together. He's the best player in the world right now. He's maybe one of the best, if not the best, athletes in the world. His sprint volume is he can run almost 22 miles an hour while dribbling a soccer ball. I had to get on my bicycle and see how fast that was.
and then
imagine trying to kick a ball going that fast. And I'm telling you, it's really fast, fellas. So he's a special player, special athlete. And he's a handful for any team in the world.
Right.
He can single-handedly destroy your team. So he's the one we got to watch, and he's the one that one player cannot be responsible for defending. It's going to have to be a collective effort. It's going to have to be. We're going to have to be a little bit more like a Popovich coach team
than
we are the Heat.
Right. Gotcha. One final question, and it deals with soccer in general. Not to pick on the sport because you know how much I love baseball, but a conversation about baseball has been length of game. Soccer is 90 minutes, and the clock runs. Do you think with this generation that has helped viewership because it is compact in time?
100%. There's no question. It's helped. You know what? Everyone's very busy. You know, a football game is going to take you over 4 hours. Baseball, I love baseball, but, you know, I was a huge baseball fan when I was in Omaha. We host the College World Series every year.
Yep.
The complaints right now in baseball, the College World Series, from the coaches, from the players, from everybody, is just dominating the conversation, and I hate it. But, you know, there's been one home run at the College World Series this year, one. And that's not good for anybody. And as a result, for the first time ever at the College World Series, the attendance is down. So I think that it's a concern. It's a concern in baseball. It's a concern in football. It's a concern in a lot of sports because you know what you got when you go into a soccer game.
Bob, absolute pleasure. Good luck on the recruiting trip out in the Midwest, and appreciate that you carved out a couple of minutes for us today.
Thanks for having me on, and you guys enjoy this. And if you're not enjoying it, fellas, just you only got 24 more days. Everybody's talking about it.
Well, we're enjoying it, so I don't care if it goes on for 48 more days.
And if the coach keeps talking, then we're good.
That's right.
Y'all have a great day.
You too, Bob. Thanks. Bob
Jurgen gives us good material.
We'll be back with more on the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
A song that Kevin and his wife danced to at their wedding.
Yeah, we did. Played by Vuvuzelas, too.
Hey, everybody has their own group.
That was that was the official FIFA World Cup song, by the way.
Good. Okay. Great. You know me. I have a deep caring about that stuff.
I know. If I didn't tell you, you wouldn't have known or cared for that matter.
Yeah. Let's talk about numbers for a moment. I'm going to do more of this in the final half hour as well. Mark Emmert, being a university president, and again, I say this with all due respect to Dr. Barron, I mean, because you have to have a handle on so many different things, doesn't have and not having any athletic department experience, does not have a handle on the business model of sports, because that's what you need to present at this case. There is no question in my mind that the NCAA, with EA Sports, overstepped its bounds as to what they did with the game. And EA Sports, look, as a business, you're looking for as many outlets as possible. I don't blame EA Sports for saying, look, I would like to do a college football and college basketball version. College football and college basketball are both very, very popular. We'd like to take advantage of that. We'd like to showcase our game and, like, use your stadiums and so forth, because that's where you go on Saturdays and you do so in droves. So from EA Sports' point of view, they didn't do anything wrong at all in a business model, because if you're sitting there looking at ways to expand your business, that for them was a perfect avenue to expand it. Now that's off the table. The NCAA was wrong to accept it. The NCAA, you know, could have accepted in such a way, but told EA Sports, look, you must make, you know, the players, you can use player stats, the quarterback did this, the wide receivers did that, and so forth, but you can't do anything that makes the likeness look like the player. You just can't do it.
And I think that would have been a fair compromise.
Exactly. I mean, that's what I think they needed to do, saying, look, you can't do anything with the likeness. You need to make it as generic as possible, and then go from there. Okay? You know, maybe you do it, the game, in such a way where you, the fan, gets to pick what number everybody happens to be. Right? So, for example, if you love Allen Robinson, okay, I'm going to have 8 be one of my wide receivers, but gee, you know, I was a big fan of Bobby Engram. I'm going to have number 10 be the other wide receiver.
And by the way, you do have the option to do that, because you can either make your own name for the player or use,
right,
you know, WR10, which would be their identifier on the screen, wide receiver 10.
Right. But that's what they needed to do. The problem is that the likenesses were just too real. I mean, I'm sure that, I think you had the game when Tim Tebow was in the game, correct?
I had more than one of those, but yeah, I definitely had that one.
But yeah, right. But I'm just saying, how much did it look facially like Tim Tebow?
Oh, it absolutely looked like Tim Tebow. As a matter of fact, he was on the cover that year, but that also was the year that he was not a college football player anymore, too. Now, that's one of the things that wasn't really talked about with this whole scenario, was the fact that the players that they used on the cover were not college football players any longer. So that's
not true.
An issue.
Yeah, except the people in the game look like the people in the game.
That's the issue.
I can tell you right now, after watching the commercial of Braxton Miller, Carlos Hyde, you know what's in the game?
Yes.
Well, Braxton Miller is still at the Ohio State University.
Yes.
All right. I mean, even today is still there, okay?
Now, no names are used in the game.
Right, but it still looks like the person.
Agreed.
Okay, and that's the part where they made the mistake. That's the part where they made the mistake, where it made it look like the person. Okay, same build as the person. They should have made all the wideouts be generic in some ways, have some white, some black, whatever, but generic in terms of build and body type. I mean, the build and body types match the players as well as the faces. It's as much mystery in the world as to whose picture's on the dollar bill. That's where they overstepped. All right, they overstepped, and that's why they're in the position they are right now. The problem is, Emmert did not explain the business model of intercollegiate athletics on the witness stand, which is what he needed to do. He needed to explain the business model. How does it work? Remember the movie It's a Wonderful Life, where they have the run on the bank? And somebody said, I have $400 here in the bank. And they said, look, Jim, your money isn't really here. Your money is in Mancini's house, in her house, so forth. It's, you know, in other words, it's investment money. Well, the investment money in football is not all going back to football. Penn State's football profit in fiscal year 2013, ending June 30th a year ago, was $30.1 million. Now, was all $30.1 million poured back into the football program? Of course not. Of course it wasn't. The Penn State men's basketball program, according to fiscal year 2013 Department of Education numbers, made $5.5 million. Okay. Did the men's basketball program reap the benefit of $5.5 million in profits and have it reinvested in the basketball program? Of course not. So where did that $35.6 million go? The $35.6 million went across the landscape. It went to lacrosse. It went to soccer. It went to volleyball. It went to wrestling. Right? As well as going to football and men's basketball. There's still money reinvested in it, but not all $35.6 million was put back into football and men's basketball. Okay? That money was used across the landscape. Penn State has a new lacrosse field. Right? Money used to build that. Also, when the athletic department has expanded Beaver Stadium over the years, they have taken out loans. They haven't taken any money from the university proper, and they haven't taken any money from the state. Every time they've expanded Beaver Stadium, it was done with a loan, and the loan was paid back. But it goes deeper than what I'm talking about. I'm going to give you all the current 12 Big Ten schools in the final half hour and let you know what they've done, and how the money pans out. Just to show that everyone's not awash in profits. It's just not, it's just not that way. And sometimes you'll hear a profit, if that money's put away, hey, look, just in case something happens, we have a bad year, you need to bank it. And also the variable coming up on July 11th. Tuition here at Penn State is going to go up, which means more money is needed by the athletic department to pay that tuition. There isn't a standard rate.